Good evening, everyone. We're going to be covering a part of the Bible I've been waiting to cover for quite some time. I really thoroughly enjoy studying this part of the Bible. All of the Bible is important, of course, but this part of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are some of the most important books. Here we read so much about so many things that are so important. Jesus Christ and his life on this earth as a human being, God in the flesh, the beginning of the church, the calling of the apostles, and the foundation being laid for the church starting on the day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2, and just so many doctrinal points that are so important to all of us. So we can take our time and go through these four gospels. We will try to harmonize and coordinate them from time to time. If there is a particular subject that looks like a contradiction, we can compare what is said in the other gospels and you'll see that it gets all cleared up. We're not going to spend too much time on that or we won't make it on through each book, but from time to time we'll be referring to the other gospels, including the one we might be going through, and comparing notes so that they mutually explain one another. Tonight we're going to get started in the book of Matthew. So if you'll turn over there to Matthew chapter 1. For a little bit of background to Matthew chapter 1, it's pretty clearly understood that the author of this book of Matthew is Matthew himself. Of course, Jesus Christ inspired it. Matthew was an apostle. He was a personal companion of Jesus Christ, of course, and so he saw and heard so much from Jesus Christ and recorded it when Christ was on this earth that we have the book of Matthew now. He was a collector of customs at the important commercial center of Capernaum, tax collector and a collector of customs, legal papers and all that kind of thing. Very important city of Capernaum where he worked. We've been there, and it's an interesting place. It's pretty obvious if you study about the history of this book that Matthew writes it in Hebrew first, and then it's translated into Greek later. And he wrote a lot of things to and about the Jews in this book, and therefore he wrote it in Hebrew, but it was later translated into the Greek. The writing of this book was probably between 60 and 70 AD, so probably around 68 or so AD in which this book was written by Matthew. He was also referred to as Levi, and you'll see him listed among the apostles. So he was a tremendous servant of God, a tremendous, powerful leader in the church, and an excellent writer. This book right here is one of the most often quoted and read books of the entire Bible, this book of Matthew. And he mentions scriptures from the Old Testament often. So if the Old Testament has now been relegated to just history and been replaced by the New Testament, well then why does Matthew refer to the Old Testament so often? You'll see that he refers to it a lot. God wants us to read and study and live by both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But some people think, no, just the New Testament. The Old Testament has been basically rendered null and void by the New Testament. That isn't true. Whole sections of the New Testament are direct quotes from the Old Testament. And one of the books where you'll find a lot of quotations, perhaps the most quotations, is right here in this book of Matthew. So let's get started. Matthew chapter 1. And verse 1, this book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now you see a genealogy here that we're going to read. When we get over in the book of Luke, you'll see another genealogy. This genealogy right here is the legal genealogy of Jesus Christ, and it's about his stepfather, Joseph. And so this legal genealogy lays out his stepfather's side of the family, Joseph. When you get over to read the genealogy in Luke 3, that's the genealogy of his mother, Mary. That's his blood genealogy of Jesus Christ. So his mother's side of the family is the blood genealogy of Jesus Christ being born from the Virgin Mary, and that's found in Luke 3. In Matthew 1, that's his father's side of his genealogy, and that's his stepfather, because God the Father is his actual father. You can compare the two and you get both the legal genealogy and the blood genealogy of Jesus Christ. just keep that in mind as we read through these names now, and just notice the names that are in this genealogy, and you'll see that some of these same names are in the blood genealogy when we get over into Luke. Chapter 1, verse 1 here in Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, and Judas begot Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Naasson, and Naasson begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz and Rahab, and that is Rahab the harlot. And she was a harlot. And we'll read about her when we go through Joshua. But see, she repented. She repented and completely and totally yielded to God, and God forgave her, and she became an upstanding servant of God. She started by taking care of the two spies that were sent into Jericho in the days of Joshua. She went on to get married and have children, and she's in the genealogy and the lineage of David and of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begot Roboam, and Roboam begot Abiah, and Abiah begot Asa, and Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Ozias, and Ozias begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Achaz, and Achaz begot Ezekias, and Ezekias begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josias, and Josias begot Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now you'll see some names in here that sound like names that occurred in other times, but people use the same name at different times in history. Just because it mentions a particular name, it doesn't mean that that's the same person that might be mentioned somewhere else by that name. You have to get that in context. That's the same thing we do in families today. People will be called by the same name, but be years apart. Sometimes in families and sometimes not in families, but they'll have that same name. Verse 12, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begot Salathiah, and Salathiah begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now see, this is not Joseph, the son of Jacob or Israel. This is a different Jacob and a different Joseph, but they're in the lineage, but yet they lived many years apart, hundreds and hundreds of years apart, but yet they had the same name. That's why you have to get it in the context to understand. It says here, Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So that breaks that all down. It's important to see that and know that and read that to keep things in order as we study through God's Word. We don't spend a whole lot of time on genealogies, but they are important. And we do spend proper time with them. They are in the Bible, and so it helps us keep things in order and lined up. Now, verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or as follows. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Espoused here is stronger than engagement, the word we use nowadays. This was not just an engagement. They were virtually married here. This was binding. A spouse means you are bound to your future spouse. They were bound together already and just had not come together in terms of being together in the home as husband and wife yet. And that's what a spouse means. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. God, through the Holy Spirit, placed Jesus Christ in Mary's womb as a little begotten, fertilized egg, and he began to grow in her womb just like any little baby does. And for 9 months, Mary carried him before she gave birth to him. But Jesus Christ was the Son of the Father in heaven, and the Father in heaven begot him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary was his blood mother. Joseph was his stepfather, and the Father in heaven was his actual father. That's how Mary became pregnant, and that's how she gave birth to Jesus. But here's Joseph now, espoused to Mary, and Mary espoused to him. They're about to move in together as husband and wife. And before they did that, she was found with child. She's pregnant. Well, obviously, Joseph's wondering, well, what's going on here? What's happened? Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, an upright man, before it was explained, there was going to be questions because out of nowhere, it seems like, here's Mary with child. So here's the kind of man Joseph was, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He said, listen, we're going to handle this in a way where it'll be the least complicated for everybody concerned. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So like I said, here's Mary, she's with child, here's Joseph, he's about to move in with her, and they are about to become husband and wife living together under the same roof. And he sees that she's pregnant, and he wonders what to do. But then it was explained to him how to handle it. It was explained to Mary also why this happened. She knew what was going on. It had already been told to her. We'll see that as we get into other accounts of this in other Gospels. But notice how Joseph handled this. You can see that God chose two people of very high quality and character to take care of his son, Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary were very upright people of high integrity and quality. Otherwise, the Father in heaven would not have chosen them to take care of his precious son, Jesus Christ. You can see how they handled it here, that they were people of character and integrity. Again, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I want to explain this to you, Joseph, so you'll understand. Now, it says that Joseph was the son of David. That means that he was in the lineage, as we've already read. You'll also notice that Judas was mentioned in that lineage in verse 3. Jesus Christ is in the lineage of David, and he is in the lineage of Judah, which means he was a Jew, both the legal and the blood genealogy. He was told, Mary, your wife. See, he calls her Mary, your wife. The spousal is more than just an engagement. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband. So it talks about them as husband and wife, even though they hadn't come together yet as a married couple. They were bound to do that, not just an engagement. That binding could not be broken any more than a marriage could. In those days, when it referred to it as an espousal, it was just a prelude before they moved in and as a married couple, husband and wife, began living together. They were considered husband and wife that were about to move in together. When you try to explain that by using the term engagement in current terminology, that's incorrect. It's more than that. This was not just an engagement here at all. Much more binding than that. They were already husband and wife virtually and bound. Joseph was about to take her into his home as his wife and him as her husband and be married together as a family. But because she is pregnant and with child, he says, what am I going to do now? And then it was explained to him what was going on, and you'll see what he did here as he was being told. He was told this, verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. No bad thing has happened here. She's done nothing wrong. This is not sin here. This is from God. This is the Father in heaven's doing. Take your wife, be together as a married couple. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted or means God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, not his fiancée, his wife. They simply now, as husband and wife, were no longer espoused and away from one another, but they were married, and the final step, they came together as husband and wife, married. Verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. They were espoused and ready to move in and be married in the fullest sense as husband and wife. And once the angel explained that to Joseph, he understood and he handled it properly. But even though they were husband and wife and married and together and in the home, he did not have intimate relations with her until after she gave birth to Jesus Christ. So she remained a virgin. Even though they were married, they were together, they were husband and wife, she remained a virgin until she gave birth to Jesus Christ. And notice verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Firstborn son means there's going to be more that follow. She was a virgin. She gave birth to Jesus Christ as a virgin, and then she went on to have a large family. Why would it say firstborn son if there were not going to be more sons after Jesus Christ? He was the firstborn. He was the oldest in the family of all the children, but there were more children, as we'll see later. That's how this whole thing came about as far as Joseph and Mary, the Virgin Mary, and then Jesus Christ, the little baby growing in her womb and then being born. And now he's a little human being, baby boy, being cared for by this couple named Joseph and Mary. He's God in the flesh, but he's a little human being, a little baby, and he had to be cared for as a little baby boy. And these two people, this couple, were chosen by God to do that. So they're very special people, not holy in the sense of worshiping them and praying to them or anything of the kind, but I think they are very special people. And the Father chose them because of the character and the uprightness and the qualities that he was looking for in order that his son, Jesus Christ, would be cared for properly as a human being starting from being a little baby boy. So we'll stop there and pick it up with chapter 2 next time. Until then, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.